So here we are. We're live. Yeah. Is it recording? It's recording. Cool. So I thought I'd do a video. I did a live recording the other day, maybe about a week or so ago now. And it's done pretty well. People dig it. I mean, I think it sounds really good. So I've decided to release it onto all major streaming platforms as well. It's up on SoundCloud now. You can check it out. But I'm going to do another one too. So maybe in this video, I'm not sure if I'm going to add it in here or if I'll do a whole nother video on that. But what I did want to talk about today for all your horn players out there is something really important. And I think it's something worth really a good amount of discussion to some degree, at least saying it out loud, right? So one of the most important things you can do and one of the most challenging things to do is to find the right mouthpiece. Right? I mean, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of choices available to you out there. And for most of us, myself included, you know, I live in Western New York. So although New York, not New York City, so not this massive metropolis or anything, just a, you know, regular city. I don't have a lot of music shops out here that carry, I mean, really any kind of high-end orchestral instruments. I mean, we basically have a program out here for band. You know, for rental, things like that, but not, you know, you're not going to go find like Schilke's and Bach's and all the, you know, the whole spread. You'd have to go to like ITG or something to be able to play all this stuff. And that's, of course, you know, especially for younger players starting out, that's just not something that you're going to be able to do. So I guess my point is while the horn itself is super important, right? I mean, I think choosing the right horn is an important decision. You know, you don't want to buy a piece of junk, but for the most part, things today, even the cheaper stuff, it's just like guitars. They're actually pretty good. And for the most part, you're not going to notice too much difference until you get to be a really seasoned, skilled player where the subtleties and the nuances of types of metal that are used and, you know, the weighting and all the geometry and things like that really make a significant difference. Even for a guy like me who's been playing for 30 something years on and off, a lot of that stuff doesn't make a huge difference. You know, I go completely by feel, but you know, before I go off on too much of a tangent here, what I wanted to actually talk about was the mouthpiece, right? So again, it's pretty difficult to try these things out, but for the most part, and maybe I'm being completely arrogant by saying this, but you know, I mean, I have a few hundred mouthpieces. I would say I've tried quite a few from all the commercial stuff to a good number of custom and one-off type pieces from places like Pudgy and Austin Custom Brass and Raw Brass Trumpets, you know, but I have Dennis Wick, Curry, Schilke, Bach, you know, I have a lot of the traditional mouthpieces that are out there and they're all great. You know, they really are. But, you know, you got to find what really works for you. And I would argue, you know, and please, by all means, let me have it in the comments, but I would argue that the mouthpiece is the single most important piece of equipment on your horn. It makes the most dramatic changes, and it really allows you to either play your best or feel nervous that you're going to miss notes and things like that. Now, if you've listened to anything that I play, you know that I don't play crazy stuff, but that being said, I think it's fair to call out the fact that it's actually pretty difficult to play the kind of music that I play, not technically speaking from a dexterity point of view and from being able to just blast through scales, but playing long-held notes that sound in tune and sound good is not really that easy either. So you have to really have some kind of an embouchure to be able to, and this isn't some kind of like, you know, promotion for me that I'm some great player, because you know that I've said before that I'm just a regular guy and an average player and I'm not a professional at all. I'm just some dude. And even more shunned because I do lo-fi hip hop and jazz hop and stuff that, you know, is kind of looked down upon by the jazz community as a whole. They don't really dig that because it's not really jazz and it's not really playing a live horn in lo-fi hip hop is not really that big of a deal either because most of it's sampled and, you know, so I'm kind of in this weird thing as a musician, weird position in that regard. But my point is, I have so many mouthpieces that I've tried. And I honestly can say that I believe there's two that I use almost exclusively at this point for everything. They're sitting in my horns. You know, if you have a bunch of mouthpieces, like I have cases and they're in your horn cases, and I have special cases just for the mouthpieces because I have so many of them, you don't want to damage them. But those, the majority of them sit in the cases, right? So the ones that I use all the time, and this, you know, I guess a disclaimer here that this is in no way any kind of reflection on this company. They don't sponsor me. I'm not endorsed. They didn't ask me to do this. This is just the reality. And I think it's fair to share because, again, that song that I just did, Tarumi, that was live, got a lot of cool feedback from a lot of you. So thanks so much for that. I appreciate it. But more importantly, I think it's the biggest reason that that thing sounded so great was not this massive rig that I have in my studio, but one simple fact, a mouthpiece. And I've played, like I said, hundreds and hundreds because I'm blessed enough to have the funding to be able to just buy stuff and try it. And if I don't like it, I just throw it in a case and maybe I'll go back to it at some point and try it again. But for the most part, I don't really care. A few hundred bucks here and there doesn't make any difference. So over the last few years, I've amassed a massive collection. But I got to be honest, when I tell you that the Lotus trumpet mouthpiece and the Lotus flugelhorn mouthpieces that I just picked up, I don't know, about a month or so ago, are by far, in every possible way, the best mouthpieces I've ever played. They really are. Even what it looks like. I know that's dumb, but look at how cool that thing looks. It's got like some fluting on there. This is a 3XLB, so it's the 3XL is for me. You know, I like that real dark, deep sound. But surprisingly, this typically on mouthpieces like that, you really lose your upper register. Not the case with this mouthpiece at all. So not sure what they're doing there, but even for a guy like me that really never gets above high C, this thing really jams in that. The B is for bronze. So that was something I just wanted to try because who the heck offers that? I'd never seen that before. And its description on their website was pretty cool. So I figured I'd give it a try. And man, I don't have like a regular brass one to compare it to, but I really, really like this mouthpiece. So if you listen to that live version of Tarumi, this is what you're hearing. You're hearing this Lotus 3XLB mouthpiece in my raw brass trumpet Benzina horn. Now I'm going to do another one. And one of the reasons I'm going to do another one is, well, the songwriter asked me to. but moreover, I want to use a more commercial trumpet because the Benzina is a custom trumpet. And it's probably out of the price range of majority of people. It's coming close to about $4,000 for one of those bad boys. And it's a wonderful, beautiful horn. I love it. I've had it for a number of years now and I've used it on tons of recordings. It's a great horn. But again, I would imagine that my audience is not somebody that's looking for the most expensive, you know, custom thing like a Monette or something like that. I just don't have the clout to push something like that. And I can't afford to buy one of those. So I don't use it. It's kind of like my whole guitar thing. You know, it's like, yeah, I went through the whole Gibson Les Paul thing for a while. And, you know, I play all Epiphones now and they're awesome and they're a fraction of the price. So my point is I want to be able to show you, you know, folks that might be in my demographic that might be interested in the kind of music that I'm doing, or maybe you're a young horn player and you're like, well, what are my options? Because I remember when I was a kid being a horn player, you know, you really didn't have a ton of options in terms of what you could do with that. It's like, well, you go off to school and you learn how to become a master like Adam Rappa. Who's, you know, I mean, every time I watch that dude play, it's just like blows my mind. He's just a master. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I am nothing even in the same, you know, latitude, longitude of that guy, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm not a valuable horn player and I don't make beautiful music because I think I do. I just don't do it the way he does it. So my point is for all of y'all out there that are not, maybe don't have aspirations to be that, and, or maybe just feel discouraged because you can't achieve that type of skill level, you know, especially when you're young. I mean, how many prodigies are there out there that are in their teens or their early 20s and they just can wail like that? I mean, it's not for everybody, right? So my point is, guys like me, you can do a lot with this. You know, I've got almost 25 million streams out there on the streaming platforms with the tunes that I've put together and with the horn playing that I'm doing. So, you know, being yourself is so important. But, you know, back to the mouthpieces. This mouthpiece, I would encourage everyone. And again, I'm not sponsored, endorsed, and I keep saying that because, you know, I feel like these are commercials and a lot of people actually listen to the things I say and go pick stuff up. But this is really just my opinion. having played hundreds of mouthpieces, this thing, the minute you touch it to your lips, it just feels like a custom, something that was made just for you. It's the quality is just amazing. The look of it is amazing, but most importantly, the sound and this feeling, you know, and it's funny because as I looked at their website, Adam Rappa makes a comment about confidence, you know, and I don't know, I'm not really sure I ever felt that, but it's like a subconscious thing, right? Confidence in your ability to play an upcoming note or an upcoming phrase. And with this mouthpiece, it's actually real. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to miss a note. And I don't know if you've followed me in the past, one of the reasons I play flugelhorn so much is not only that I love the sound of flugelhorn, but for whatever reason, maybe it's the canonical step four. I'm not sure what it is, technically speaking, about a flugelhorn, but I just play a flugelhorn better from a confidence level. Not just the sound, not that the mellow tone works better for some of the slick jazz stuff that I'm doing and the chill hop, but like, I don't miss as many notes on the flugelhorn for some reason. Now, again, I don't know if that's the way the horn is built or what, but that to me is what takes you to the next level as a player. Because if you're sitting there playing a phrase and you're worried about missing notes, that really kind of gets in the middle of your mojo and your vibe, and it, you're just not going to have the same kind of feeling. So if you're wondering why some of my feeling is so confident, that's why. It's, you know, some portion of the horn itself makes me feel really confident. But in the end, it's the mouthpiece that really is the translation between what it is in your head that you're trying to come up with, or maybe it's not even in your mind, it's just subconscious. And what comes out of that instrument is critical that you don't blow notes just because of the equipment. All right, so in closing, take a look at these mouthpieces, or take a look at, you know, trying out a bunch of different mouthpieces. If you've got friends, if you've got things you can, you know, give a try. It's really important to get out there and part of the experience that you build up as a player, you know, especially being my age. So just for the record, I'm 50. Yeah. But, you know, over the years, like I said, I've had the opportunity to play a lot of different mouthpieces and they're all great in their own way. But, you know, when you land on that one that's just the end all be all, Lotus, kind of stick with it. So now I want to buy like every Lotus. But the nice thing is they don't have this ridiculous range of choices. They've narrowed it down to something manageable. So, you know, I think that's really good because, you know, if you look at Bach or Schilke or Yamaha, I mean, there's hundreds. They have size for every. And I think that level of choice is almost ridiculous, especially for somebody like me. I'd have to literally go in there and try them. And I don't even know that you'd know the difference between some of the subtle incremental changes that they've made. Again, because I don't have that skill level, or maybe I don't even have that ear. So to that end, I like the fact that there's a simplicity around the Lotus. They've taken a lot of that difficult work and they've narrowed it down to some of the best choices that you can make in a mouthpiece so that when you pick one, you can't really go wrong. I've also noticed that throughout the years, the sizing, and again, this is all just my opinion. If you go from a 1 to a 3 to a 5, there's not a huge amount of difference. I mean, it's incremental, you know, like they're bigger or smaller, but it's not huge or at least significant enough where you'd be like, oh, I can't play that. I mean, I guess if you jumped from like a 7C to like a 1C, that might be a massive difference and feel weird and big on your mouth. But overall, if you find one that feels good, this is the takeaway today as I continue to ramble on. If you find one that feels good, that's the one. Just stick with it, right? I'm on this journey, and I have been for a long time, to keep trying different mouthpieces and find the right one. You know what, man? They're all great. It really comes down to feel. And I tell you, every time I put this Lotus mouthpiece to my lips, it just feels right. I don't know what it is. It's something that's, to some degree, indescribable. Other than to say it that way. I have no idea why or what they did, but it just feels perfectly rounded. It feels custom, but it feels exact. I don't know. It's a difficult thing to describe, but for me, this is definitely a mouthpiece to try out. Now, they're not the cheapest mouthpiece you're going to find, but if you've bought 3 or 4 mouthpieces, you can easily buy one Lotus mouthpiece and you'll be really happy. So I don't know, man. Just go check their website out. See what you think. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Adam Rappa. I mean, the guy, just listening to him play, it's kind of like starstruck in a way. Like, he's one of those dudes, if you'd met him, you'd be like, wow, this, how in the world are you able to do that? So, you know, kind of geeking out on the horn side of things for a minute there. But, you know, check these guys out. They're really, really, really amazing. And I use this stuff. So if you dig anything that I'm doing, this is what I'm using. So I like to know what my aficionados and the people that I look up to are using, and or at least the people that I revere. You know, I like to know what they're using and think that that's in some strange way going to have some impact on what I do. And I'm really glad I tried these guys out. You know, I was fortunate that I found, they're having a sale not too long ago. So I got in on a little bit of a sale, but again, you know, it's worth calling out that I'm fairly blessed. But one of the things I like to call out too, is that I reinvest in myself, right? So yeah, I make money from music, from streaming, from publishing, from doing things like that on the business side. But that money isn't just sitting around, or I'm not squandering it on fancy things. I'm going out and buying and investing in myself so that I can be better next time. You know, I just ordered some Pultec EQ modules for my, you know, physical analog stuff for my gear, because I think tube stuff sounds amazing, but it's pretty expensive. But I'm reinvesting in this business, in this business that is Garrett Michael Conklin, from a music perspective. I reinvest in myself. So I think it's important to not feel guilty or feel bad about those things. So, you know, not going down a rabbit hole with regard to pricing and things like that, but, you know, $100 mouthpiece or $150 mouthpiece, even a $300 mouthpiece, if it's the right one, it's an investment you'll have forever. It's like, you know, when you buy a really nice pair of shoes, if you take care of them, you'll have them for the rest of your life, as long as your foot isn't growing anymore, right? So you can look at it that way. And if you approach it from a business perspective, these things are, you know, it's a depreciating asset, right? I mean, literally, I'm doing my taxes right now, so that's kind of top of mind. But, you know, these types of investments are depreciating assets where you can take a tax write-off for the next 3 years on the depreciation of the asset. So it's really and truly an investment in your business and in your career. So with that, I'm going to leave it because I'm getting into ridiculous stuff now. But, you know, thanks so much for your support. And I appreciate everyone checking out all my tunes and things like that. So, you know, look forward to this next live tune that I'm going to do. And it will, again, be on this 3XLB from Lotus Trumpets.